Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Well, I'm Mike Moses, and I'm the lead pastor here at Lake Forest Church, and I want to say Merry Christmas to you. Yeah. Just so glad to be with those of you who are members of the tribe of Lake Forest and those of you who are friends or guests or you just happen to choose this church for Christmas Eve. We're just so glad that you're here to celebrate John chapter 1, verse 9. What it describes is this: the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Light goes hand in hand with Christmas. It just does. We all love light. When Christmas rolls around, we roll out the lights. Whether you're an early bird and the day after Thanksgiving, you've got the boxes out and you're putting it up, or you're one of those Scrooge types and you're like, okay, it's the middle of December, I guess we got to do it. Whatever you are, you roll out the lights if you live in this culture. And it's time. And I don't know what kind of light person you are. You can tell people's personality a little bit. You know, some of you are like colored, flashing lights on everything kind of people. Wah, wah, wah. And some of you are like, we have a quiet NPR kind of Christmas. It's just white, antique, white-looking lights on our tree. No colored ornaments. It's all matches. Whatever lights you up, that's great. But it's all about lights at Christmas. We're all into it. Every dad in this room, if you're a dad, I bet you have said it, heard yourself say at one point in time, hey kids, hop in the car, let's drive around the neighborhood and look at lights. And so at a snail-like pace, we look around, we drive, and even the best streets, you know the best street in Huntersville, it was voted this year, four light bulbs or five light bulbs. Here's a picture of one of the houses there because our own student pastor, Greg, lives on that lane, and he almost refused to move into the house when he found out this is what they do. He's not a flashing big lights kind of person. But you drive through and you look at the lights, right? Now, wouldn't it seem odd? Kids, see if this would be weird or not. If I said to my boys, hey boys, let's go get in the car and let's drive around and let's look at darkened houses. Hey, look at that, boys. Let's turn the lights off so we can see it really well. Look, it's dark. It's magical. It's beautiful. It's dark. Kids, is that smart or dumb? Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Yeah, because we're fascinated by light. We're drawn to light, not the dark, especially during Christmas time. But not only are we drawn to lights, but Christmas lights us up. Christmas has a way of illuminating some things about our lives. We go to parties or other people's houses, and we, maybe at this season more than others, we compare ourselves to others, and we think about what we do have or what we don't have compared to others. This season has a way of illuminating our loneliness. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, there's a lot of people around here and I'm even with a lot of family. But I feel lonely this Christmas. Christmas illuminates and it highlights the relational fractures that we live with, the fault lines in our relationships. And so if we have moments of introspection, maybe quiet moments by the tree with the lights on and nobody else is in the room, sometimes we notice that Christmas illuminates parts of our lives that where we're living with some darkness or some hurt or some pain or things that aren't right. Because Christmas illuminates. It's about light. We have words. Light and dark is so ubiquitous for us. We have phrases, right, about light and dark all the time. If you're watching the NBA game tomorrow and LeBron James hits three straight three-pointers in a row, I guarantee you that somebody in this room right now will come right up out of your easy recliner chair with Chex Mix in your mouth and go, man, he's lighting it up, right? Or for those of you who, we have other phrases about light and dark. For those of you who grew up in the 70s, there are a few of you here, when you looked at that special someone in their 3-foot-wide bell-bottom jeans, you just couldn't help but sing out, you light up my life. We have all sorts of phrases and euphemisms, and at Christmas time, we think about light. Because light and darkness are major themes in our lives. They're major themes in our heart. And therefore, God speaks about them. They're themes in the Scripture. And the first thing that God did on that Christmas was the same thing that he did at the beginning of time. God spoke his word and he said, let there be light in the darkness. And at Christmas, God not just speaks, but he gives the living word, Jesus, to say, let there be light in your darkness. The light that was the light of everyone was coming into the world. A lot of people were in the dark that first Christmas. Think about Mary. She was a virgin teenager engaged to be married, going, man, what is life all about? And suddenly she's ambushed by an angel with a sense of humor, maybe, who tells her she'll give birth to the light of the world. Light came into her darkness. Then you got the astrologers, the wise men from the ancient culture of Persia. And the wise men, they followed a what, kids? They followed a star, a light in the sky on their way. And on their way to find Jesus, following the star, they met up with King Herod, the Jewish king in Jerusalem. Herod was wheels off, totally in the dark, only living for power. And they say, the wise men said, hey, Herod, we follow the light because all of our calculations and philosophy tells us there's a great light about to be born. And they follow, and King Herod says, I've heard about that. When you come back, why don't you tell me where the light is and I'll go too. Because Herod remained in the dark. He wanted to murder anything or anyone who might shine the light on his darkness of power hunger. And we sometimes resist the light shining into our darkness as well. And at Christmas, God wants to illuminate even those parts of our lives. But the wise men, they followed the light. And then they met Christ child, the Christ child. And after worshiping Jesus, they returned home. They walked home another way. And every time we worship, every time we walk in the light, in cadence with Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we will walk a different way. Maybe even on our way out here tonight. Then I think about the shepherds. They were out there sipping their strong, stale espresso out by the fire, watching over the sheep, pulling an all-nighter. They were in the dark socially. They were outcasts. They were in the dark intellectually. They were uneducated. And then suddenly, they were lit up. They were illuminated by the light of all these angels praising God and cracking jokes, if you believe our story earlier. And they moved from, the shepherds moved from darkness to light. And then Jesus, the light of the world. And Jesus eventually, at some point, crawled out of his manger. And after, as a child, spending a few years playing with his baby Einstein toys, he grew up, right? And when he was 30 years old, Jesus started his public ministry. And one day, the Bible records for us something that he said about light. It's in John chapter 8. And where Jesus was likely standing, scholars say, in this moment, was he was in the Jerusalem temple during a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles in ancient Judaism commemorated the exodus, the exit of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt into freedom in the Promised Land. God set them free. And during this festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, they would have what they called a festival of lights as part of it. And so in the temple, they would light up these big honking candelabra, the biggest candles that they made, and they would put them all over the temple, and people would put candelabras all around their houses. And so during the Festival of Lights, Jerusalem was all lit up, just like modern day Christmas, just like our town. Our neighborhoods are all lit up tonight for Christmas. And in this moment, Jesus was in the temple talking with the Jewish leaders, standing in front of the candelabra. And here's what he said, John chapter 8, verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He said, I am the light of the world, standing in the temple in front of this giant candelabra in the Festival of Lights. You know what the candelabra represented in the temple during that festival? It represented the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites from slavery in Egypt through the desert and into their promised land of freedom and God's blessings to them. The pillar of fire was God's very presence to them in their darkness. So I want you to stop for a second and go, wait a minute, what was he saying? So Jesus, when he said, I am the light of the world, and he was standing in front of the candelabra, at the Festival of Lights, you know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm God. I am the light. I am the fire that guided your ancestors out of slavery and into freedom. I am the light of the world, the very presence of God. I'm not a light. I'm not one of the lights. Like, there's a strobe light, there's a black light, there's a Bud light. I'm not one of the lights. I am the light of the world. And then you know what he said next? He said the word whoever. Kids, will you say whoever?
Whoever.
The other night I went to the grocery store getting ready for Christmas. And you know those electronic doors, kids, that you go in and out of at the grocery store that you kind of wish you could stay and play with a little bit, right? You walk up to it and there's a little sensor and it goes doosh. And you walk through and it goes doosh behind you, right? Hey, can you make that sound for me? I bet you can do it better than me. Excellent. That sound right here that he's making. Every time, every single time somebody walks up, it's systematic, it's automatic, it's hydromatic, according to the movie Grease, right? I saw white people, I saw Hispanic people, I saw African-American people, I saw Asian people, I saw rich-looking people, I saw poor-looking people, and the door always opened. Kids, every time it made what sound? Ooh, yes, exactly. It always opened. It's a whoever door. And that's what Jesus is driving at. He says, I am the light of the world. I am God come to visit you. And then he said, whoever follows me and walks through the door of trusting me and following me will never walk in darkness, but will possess the light of life. John 8:12. Light and dark. Have you gone through the whoever door of Jesus Christ to give him your life and follow Jesus by allowing him to forgive you and wash you clean from guilt and to follow him to live every day to be his light to the lonely, the hurting, the less fortunate? Children, if you've never walked through the whoever door of Jesus to become a Christian, you can even do that tonight with your parent as you go to bed. They will pray that with you. Do you have the light of life to walk in? Here's a statement to consider. Now, darkness frustrates. If we're in the dark and we don't have light, it's frustrating, but light illuminates. It was 2 a.m. and I was dead asleep. And all of a sudden, I woke up. I mean, I woke dead straight up with the sense of somebody's in the house. And I didn't know why I thought that. I just woke up thinking it. And you know how in the dark, kids, you know, you can't see anything, but all your other senses are just poised and ready. And so I was sitting there listening. And sure enough, I heard some breathing. I heard some footsteps in the hall. And then our bedroom door moved a little bit as if somebody had their ear up against it. And I thought to myself, somebody is in our house at 2 a.m. in the morning. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So what I did, I slipped out of my bed and to walk across to the door to open it and flip on the light. And kids, you know what it's like to try to walk in the dark, you know, like when you can't see. You have to, like, you're a little off balance. You're a little out of kilter. You don't have depth perception. And I stubbed my toe. And I didn't want to say anything, or especially any bad thing, because I'm a pastor. And because there's somebody out there I'm now trying to sneak up on. So I get to the door, and I put my hand on the handle. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to find out who it is. And man, when I get ornery, I could get pretty mean. I could take them, I bet, if I surprise them. So I'm going to throw open the door and flip on the light really fast. And so that's what I did. I threw open the door, and kids, I flipped on the light, and you will not believe what I saw next. I looked, and there was my dog, Copper, sitting up against the door, chewing her left hind leg. Dumb as a stump. She had somehow gotten out of my son Austin's room and come to sleep a little closer to Master, right? And she looked up at me like, what? What? It scared me to death, but the light illuminated reality. I was in the dark for a few seconds, but then I turned the light on and boom, I saw what the situation was. And that's what I've been praying this Christmas season for you and me. I've been praying that whatever area of my life and yours is in darkness right now, if not the whole of your life, because there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of toe stubbing going on in our lives, isn't there? From walking in the dark. And I've been praying that this season, God would turn the lights on. That you would be able to see more of the reality of your life, the people around you, and the God who made you, most importantly. Because you know what, kids? God is crazy about you. God loves you so much. He has this great adventurous role for you, for your life, in the great universal story that he is writing. And that's the meaning of Christmas. It's about the fact that because God loves you, he walked down the staircase of heaven with a baby in his arms. And that baby is the light of the world and the light of your life and mine. And that baby, Jesus, grew up and he died on a cross and he rose again to forgive us, to wash us clean, to separate away anything of death from us, and to give us the light of life. Because without God, if he's not part of the story, we only come from darkness and we're going back to darkness. And that's a bad story. Have you ever acquiesced and moved into the light by going through the forever door of Jesus? Because once the lights come on, you'll be able to see yourself and others and God for who they actually are. Now, kids, I brought a toy to play with that you should never, ever, ever play with yourself, okay? So you promise me if I play with it now, you won't go home and play with it? Okay. That I brought matches. They're not really a toy. I was lying. But I brought some matches. Because let me step out in the darkness for a minute. And hey, it's dark. I need some light. Oh, I've got some matches in my pocket. I bet I can get some light from the matches. If I can see. Let's see. Yeah. Oh. Did it work? Can you see my face? Yeah. Oh, I got a light. It did. I got some light. That's what I need for. If I need light, I've always got matches, don't I? Right? Great. Ow. Oh. I just discovered the point of diminishing returns of lighting your life up with a match, right? Well, lights, you know what? Kids, would it be smart or dumb for me to light up the darkness in my house tonight with match after match after match? Yeah, that'd be pretty dumb. Well, you know what? I've spent some time in my life, and maybe you have too, when I've looked to the wrong sources for light. Because sources of light that burn out eventually, and they burn me when I try to make them my main source of light. Right? Like, here's one of them. Okay, if I have all the right number of zeros in my portfolio, man, that'll light up my life. And it does for a little while. But then what happens? It goes out. There's a great recession, and it burns out and burns me. Because that's just a light. It's not the light. Maybe another way that some of us are trying to light up our life with matches is to go, okay, hey, I'm going to hook up with this person. I have found the right next person. If I can hook up with them, man, that will do it. Because you light up my life. Right? They're going to light me up. I know it. And that works as some light. But it can't bear the pressure. It doesn't have the spiritual wattage to be the light for my whole life or for yours. Because what we tend to do with matches in our lives, different things in our lives, is put God-type pressure on man-made relationships and things. And then we wonder why things are a little bit sideways all the time on us. It's because we're looking to the wrong source of light. And what it's time to do, kids, is drop the matches and step into the light that is the light of life. Jesus. Jesus. It's time to admit, God, I'm frustrated, I'm frozen, I'm stubbing my toes in the dark all the time. I want to walk through the forever door of Jesus, and I want to walk in his light. Either for the first time, or I want to come back, Lord. I've put my trust in you, but I haven't been walking in the light. I want to walk in your light. Light not only illuminates, but it captivates us. It draws us, doesn't it? In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, God says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. God draws our hearts around all the things that are good at Christmas time, and he's drawn us here tonight. And he's drawing you and me to walk in the light of life. Because human beings, we can't survive without physical light. And our souls cannot survive without the spiritual light that God gives us both now and forever. And so John 12, verse 35 says this very plainly. The person who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. Could we drop the lights again, please? So, what does it say? Put your trust in him. How do you walk in light? You just take one step into the light. And tonight, God, your heavenly Father, sorry about that, Not really. God's your Heavenly Father. He loves you so much. He loves you. And through the Christmas story of the star pointing to the manger and the light of Jesus, He is drawing you to illuminate your life, to drop the matches and step into the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have not left us in darkness. You created a good world with light in it. And You created our souls to be lit by Your love. And You gave Your Son Jesus for that very purpose, to give us that light. And so, Lord, tonight, we each pray different prayers. And in a moment when our candle is lit, when our candle gets lit, it will be a different prayer for each of us, Lord. For some of us who we don't know, we feel like we've been standing in the middle of that whoever door for a long time, just listening to the sound. Ooh, Lord, You're calling us to take a step through it and follow You. And some of us say yes for the first time to accept Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf and to forgive us and wash us clean. And now we will follow You. And we say yes, Lord, as we receive the light in a moment. Lord, all of us here, we have areas of darkness in our lives where we've not been allowing You to shine in. And we ask, we open it to You as we light our candle. And we all ask that You would shine Your light in a dark world through us this Christmas and this year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.